Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's Wednesday. It's 11:21.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As ever, I'm joined by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. We are going to talk about breakups today. Rachel, how's it going?
Oh, very good. So talk to us. Have we got loads of questions about breakups, I'm sure.
Oh, so much. So what are the main reasons people break up these days?
Oh, there's loads of them, but I would say it's mostly around people who haven't learned how to deal with their differences and manage conflict, that they don't pay attention to the relationship anymore. So they just sort of feel like they fall out of love and they think that that's it and that's over. They don't communicate their needs and their boundaries well. So again, there's going to be a lot of conflict and resentment. And then often people's self-awareness is low. They don't actually know what they want. So they're not even really able to communicate that. So they're sort of the main reasons.
What is the best way to handle getting ditched and, you know, to take care of yourself in the aftermath? Because it's a very emotional time. So what should people be thinking of doing?
Our brains process breakups very much like physical pain. So it can be absolutely excruciating. You know, people often feel a lot of guilt and shame for how much pain they're in during a breakup. So I think, you know, absolutely allowing yourself space to really grieve, you know, it is a kind of it's not a linear process often, you know, a breakup. And so it is a type of a death. It's a death of a shared life together, past, present and future. And, you know, letting yourself feel angry as well. So really just making space for that and then covering the basics. You know, it's like getting decent enough sleep where you can, making sure you still exercise and that your diet is all right where possible. And then social connection, you know, because some of us want to totally withdraw and just isolate when we go through a breakup. And then for other people, they want to be out every night and they're not getting any time to themselves. So you kind of want to try and find that balance if you can. Basically.
You spoke about the grieving period there, but I mean, how long should you let yourself feel shite afterwards? Like, how long should that be?
Yeah, there's a really common like sort of myth that there's a certain amount of time. Like if you have been in the relationship for a year, then you should only feel bad for a month or two. And absolutely, in my experience, there is no set amount of time to grieve and feel awful afterwards, because sometimes you might have had an amazing connection with someone and only been with them for, let's say, you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe only had one date, but what that represented to you might have been really massive, really important. And then you might have been in a relationship or a marriage for 10, 20, 30 years, but possibly you did a lot of the grieving and the processing and sort of, you know, kind of the relationship ran its course while you were still in it. So potentially you're not going to spend that much time afterwards feeling that bad about it, because you feel like you've already kind of processed that and moved on. So there is no set amount of time, but I would say if you're, you know, if it's been months and months and you're still feeling agony over it and it's taken up a huge amount of your time and energy, that's probably a good time to see a therapist about it. Not that you have to wait that long. You can see a therapist anytime for any reason that you want. But, you know, if it's something that feels like it's really
affecting your life,
putting you up and affecting your life, like how you function, then for sure, go see somebody.
How about if you're the one who wants to do the breaking up? How would you do it without being a tool?
Oh, you know, okay. So basically get clear on your reasons why you want to break up and make sure that you've already explored these with the person, because although you're not obliged to stay in any relationship, I often find that people come to me and they haven't told their partner what it is that they're bothered about. And partly that's, you know, that can be social conditioning, that we're afraid to upset or disappoint the other person or make them angry. But often it's just that we're frightened of being judged or dismissed, you know, that it feels vulnerable to share with them what's bothering us, or we're afraid to hurt their feelings. But like, realistically, if this is someone that you overall value and respect, you know, even if it's something that feels very uncomfortable, like let's say you're not attracted to them anymore, or you're feeling much less attracted to them, or you're very worried that that you're, you know, you're going in different directions in your life, or something else that it might be. Maybe it's that you find that they're drinking a lot and that's been bothering you a lot, and whatever it might be, it's, you know, I think where possible, sharing with them first what it is that's bothering you, to give the two of you, or however many of you are in the relationship, a chance to rectify that, because that could be possible. But if you're already sure, or you've already done that, then I would say be honest with the person. Don't be patronizing. Ideally, do not do it over text. And yeah, take responsibility for yourself in it as well. Don't just go around blaming the other person, because it's you know, it usually takes, depending on the situation, but usually takes two to tango.
Years ago, I broke up with Leo via text.
Nice.
I know. He never, obviously we're married now, we got back together, but he never lets me forget it. He just could not get over how cruel I could be. And I regret that, because it was very, very mean. But I'm a coward. What if you can't decide whether to stay or go in a relationship? Do you get a lot of people coming to you with that problem?
Loads. And that is actually a really good time also for therapy, because sometimes there's, you know, a lot of upsides to a relationship, and sometimes that can be very toxic. It might even be emotionally abusive or otherwise, where there's some really good times, and also people can get very sucked into the memory of the honeymoon period and how good it sometimes was in the beginning. So that can be a reason that keeps people in relationships far longer than would actually be healthy for one or other people, or, you know, more people involved. But, you know, I think often exploring, if you're not sure whether to stay or go, exploring the idea that you could potentially de-escalate the relationship instead of ending it can be a good one, which could mean, you know, I have lots of people coming to me who've, you know, once they've moved in together, have found that their relationship's gone shite and they've really struggled with that. And so maybe it's that you don't want to live together, but you don't necessarily want to break up. Now, societally, that can be seen as like a huge no-no. If you're going to de-escalate, then that must mean that there's something terribly wrong with the relationship. But I think we're opening up more and more to the idea that not everybody is made to live together. Not everybody is going to want to have children together. Some people are going to have different needs in terms of, you know, whether they even want to sleep over with each other, or how often in the week they'd like to see each other. And sometimes you escalate a relationship in a direction that society tells you to go, and then you find that it doesn't work for you. So that's also an option, is to work out, is it possible for you to change the relationship rather than ending it?
Would you say that's the best time to go to couples therapy if you're at that stage? If you're at that stage where if you can't decide whether to stay or go before, you know, you do something drastic, it's kind of fleshing out the problems, isn't it?
I think it is a good time, but actually the more that we can recognize, I'm not saying that people should just go to therapy willy-nilly, but actually maybe I am. I think that any time is a great time to go to therapy, and that many couples, I especially see this with Gen Z, younger couples are going to therapy immediately once they, pretty much from the get-go of being in a relationship, because therapy is not only about sorting out problems. It can be absolutely about sort of making plans and preparing, because you're never going to find people who are, you know, you're not going to be long-term compatible in every way, nor do you need to be, but it can be really helpful to have someone else who can kind of mediate a space for you to be able to talk through things that might feel too vulnerable or uncomfortable when it's just the two of you, or you just don't seem to be able to find the time and the space. So it can also be a bit like scheduling date nights, scheduling sex. Therapy can be a great space to be able to, you know, kind of design your relationship with each other. So
gotcha.
Great one to do.
What are some of the signs then that it's definitely time to go your separate ways?
Okay, so some of the obvious ones would be, I really think, you know, if there's ongoing addiction and that's causing real problems in the relationship, which it often does, things like ghosting, whether that's, you know, because sometimes that's temporary where people will ghost and then they'll come back in. You know, if there's contempt, that usually that's a very big sign that your relationship is on the rocks. If you're, you know, sort of doing like nasty impressions of each other, very belittling, you know, very sort of, you know, mocking and sarcastic, those sorts of things are a very good sign that you have really, really lost respect for the other person or for each other. And then things like just being, you know, recognizing that you really want different and incompatible things. It doesn't just have to be different, because you can have you can want different things in your life and still manage to make that work for for you. But if it's that they're incompatible, like one of you wants children and one of you really doesn't, or one of you really wants to live together and the other doesn't, that's a good sign. If you really don't trust the other person because of their behavior, now many of us will have trust issues because of our past experiences, but if you don't have trust for the person that you're with because of their behavior, that's a good sign. If you don't enjoy each other's company, you know, you're not always going to enjoy each other's company, especially if you live together, have kids together, have a lot of that kind of, you know, kind of domestic life together. But certainly if you're the majority of the time not enjoying each other's company, then probably you don't need to bother, you don't need to continue. And then if you don't respect each other, and if you find that one or both of you are judgmental and unsupportive, again, you're not obliged to be in that relationship. Sure, you might have shared responsibilities and, you know, you have to sort of be accountable to that. But realistically, no one needs to be in a relationship that is, you know, kind of doing you harm and not supporting you.
Okay, so you've broken up with someone, you've made the decision, you've broken up with someone. How long should you wait before jumping on Tinder or Grindr or whatever and dating again?
Oh, this is another myth that there should be a certain amount of time that you have to like find yourself again and you have to fully grieve and you have to be, you know, totally ready to date again. And I personally don't believe that at all. I don't think, a bit like how long should you grieve the relationship itself, I don't think there's any particular time that you need to wait. Now, I think it's very good to kind of take time to reflect yourself and work out, you know, is this purely that I'm, you know, wanting to get into something as quickly as possible with someone else to avoid feeling lonely and sad, in which case maybe give yourself a bit more time. But you can still go on dates. Just be honest with people. It doesn't mean you have to like share every kind of messy detail of the breakup or even that. But, you know, don't dupe people into believing that you're willing to get into a long-term relationship, let's say, when you've just broken up with someone and you're still in a kind of a deep grieving process. But I would say there isn't actually a set amount of time. So go for it, basically.
How important is it then to have no contact, you know, after a breakup? Is it better to cut them off completely, or should you try to be friends? What's the way to go there?
Totally up to you, really. That differs from person to person, and it also may differ as you get older. I have some people come to me and they, for most of their teens and 20s, whenever they went through a breakup, they would go absolutely no contact, and that was how they did things, and that mostly worked well for them. And then they might find as they get older that, you know, because of the maybe the length of the relationships, or just how they feel in themselves, their own maybe emotional maturity, it could be a variety of factors, that they might find that it makes more sense to be able to probably take a period where you're not particularly close to the person, or you're maybe not in contact at all, but that then you might find that it feels very fulfilling to be able to be friends, that you don't have to cut them out of your life completely, especially if it wasn't sort of acrimonious, you know, if it wasn't kind of vitriolic or nasty between you, then you may decide that you would absolutely like to be friends. But then equally, you're not obliged to do that. I think that some people feel that, you know, it is a sign of success of the kind of breakup or the relationship that they had, if they're able to maintain a friendship afterwards. And you also don't have to do that. So I think, you know, really take it on a basis, and don't worry too much.
Don't put pressure on yourself. How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Do men cope better or differently to women with breakups?
You know, this is an interesting one, because I think the socialization of men and women is quite different. So I generally find still that men take a lot longer to process breakups with whoever they're dating, whatever gender they're dating, that men tend to find, because of their socialization, I believe, that they take longer to start the grieving process. So they often feel that they're fine straight afterwards, and it might only be a few months after that that they begin to, you know, feel very lonely, very, very sad. Whereas I find that women who are, you know, often socialized, conditioned to have much more access to our feelings, you know, and sort of talk more about that with friends and family, often enter the grieving process much more quickly, which can create an interesting dynamic in heterosexual partnerships, because often by the time the woman has done grieving and she's ready to move on, maybe a few weeks or months later, often that's the time when the guy who she was with has just started the grieving process. So he might reach out then and say, oh, I'm feeling terrible, can we reconnect? And then they might kind of, you know, sort of get back together because of that and start a sort of cycle there. So that's an interesting one. But I do think that's, you know, changing, and it's definitely not kind of a strict thing.
Rachel, last one. Anybody going through a breakup at the moment who's listening, what is your biggest tip for them?
Be really compassionate towards yourself and have as few, like, you know, as little blame and judgment and shame as possible, but also totally recognize that it's absolutely normal to feel sometimes excruciating pain and to have, you know, intrusive and obsessive thoughts, for those to pop into your mind at any time. So just be very, very kind to yourself and know that, yeah, it takes time and you can always reach out for some extra, you know, professional help if that feels like it would be supportive.
That's the
to you.
One thing, isn't it, that everybody will say, from you, the expert, to mothers, to friends, it's going to take time.
Time takes time.
Rachel, thank you so much. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist, mental health consultant. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end if you want to go and follow her. She will be back next week. So if you have any questions that you would like us to put to her, you can get in touch with the team 24/7. Just email Jen at rt.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.